something I have never done before. I take it something I rarely, and I say rarely, I mean really rarely do, but some of you have heard this message before. And it's not been that long ago. And you're going to hear it again tonight. You're going to hear it again tonight. Take your Bible, go with me to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles 28. This morning's message, 11 o'clock. Literally, it was the first time I ever preached it. And been chewing on it for days. And Lord gave me leadership to preach it this morning. As I made mention in Sunday school, I'm going to make mention again. I love David. I really don't know where to begin with this message. I really don't. Hermeneutically, the introduction is probably as important a message, is as important a portion of the sermon as the body of it is, the main points. My introduction is this. God said some wonderful things about some human beings. He knows our frame, that we are but dust. He knows our frame, that we are but dust. Did you know that God knew every one of your failures before he saved you? He washed Judas's feet, knowing he was going to betray him. And yet he washed them anyway. He washed Peter's feet, knowing he was going to deny him. He washed the other 10's feet, knowing that all but one would desert him at the cross, and the one would be John the Beloved. But God said some really nice things about some people. Nobody. I'm nobody. You know why I find it so easy, Brother Harry, to confess that? Because I'm looking at a room full of nobodies. I found it very easy to confess what I know everybody's guilty of. That makes sense to me. We're just sinners saved by grace. Amen. Yet, he loves us. Amen. And chose us to serve him before any failures after salvation. He still saved us and loved us. Satan was looking for someone he could destroy, and he goes to heaven to get permission from the Lord to attack Job. And the Lord, a lot of mysteries, and this is one of them, looks at Satan, knowing why he's there, and said, "Have you considered my servant Job? You want someone to attack, you want someone to destroy. Have you considered my servant Job?" Oh, think about that. Think about that. Satan there with the express purpose of getting permission from God to attack someone God loves. And God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Of course he had. That's exactly why he was there. He hated him. Satan hated Job. And here's what God said about Job, for there's none like him. Whew. There's none like him in all the earth. What a word of commendation. He said of John the Baptist, He sent the, John the Baptist sent his followers and said, ask Jesus, having a lapse of faith. Oh my goodness. Get this, please get this. John the Baptist in prison, having a lapse of faith. Privy to information no one else had been privy to. And he said, listen to me, fellas. Go ask Jesus. Are you him? Or should we look for another? And I like what Jesus said. What went ye down into the wilderness to see? He didn't rebuke him. Ah, glory to God, he didn't rebuke him. He didn't berate him. He didn't say, you go back and tell that backslidden hound. He just looked at everybody and said, what went you out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaking in the wind? He said, no. You went out to see somebody arrayed in soft raiment? Nah, you could go to the temple and see that. No, you went out to see a voice and a prophet crying in the wilderness. Prepare you the way. He didn't berate him. He didn't belittle him. He built him up. And he said, a man, born of woman. I like that. That gives me hope. I know that you're going to think whatever you want to think about this message and the reason for it. But don't you want God to say those kind of things about you? He knows me better than I do. The heart's deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? He knows my old sinful heart better than I do. But he saved me. Called me to preach. Whether you like it and think I'm qualified or not, God did that. Instead of saying, John, you just... No, he said, there's none of all the men born. None greater than John the Baptist. What a word of commendation. Our story, our hero of the sermon tonight. God knew everything about David. And you know what God said about David? He's a man after God's own heart. A man after. And I found this to be, I think this is the true interpretation. A man after God's own heart. As the heart. And we're talking about a young deer. As a heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul for thee. And that phrase, a man after God's own heart, was this. David was always pursuing the heart of God. And with all of his faults, and with all of his failures, with all of his flaws, with all of his mistakes and stumbles along the way, God said, he's going to be called, my son Jesus is going to be called the son of David. The Syrophoenician woman says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Blind Bartimaeus outside of Jericho on the road back to Jerusalem heard that Jesus was passing by, and he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And all of the names, all the single names, now all the names of Jesus total almost 1,600. But you just take the name David and take the name Jesus. The number one name in all the Bible, the single most used name in all the Bible is David. 974 times God has it put down in his eternal word, my son. And that stirs my heart. That's not to put a premium upon David that we're not necessary, and that's not to try to put a premium on us. But God went out of his way. Jesus' name is mentioned, just the name Jesus, 973 times. David has his name mentioned one time more. Not to place David above Jesus, for there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. And of all those times, oh, I'm having fun. I get a little stirred up about this kind of stuff. Of all those times that Jesus, you heard this message down at the men's retreat, didn't you? Part two. Of all those times David's name is mentioned, there are 783,000 words, 783,137 words in the Bible. That's a lot of words. 783,137 words. And there's only one word. Only one word that is only used one time in all the Bible. And it's used in conjunction with the name of David. Here's my text. David's speaking. He's old and aged. You know what my favorite verse is today? Has been for quite a while. Oh Lord, now that I'm old and gray-headed, forsake me not. Till I've showed thy strength to this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. You know what my promise, you know what promise I claim from God is this. And he shall bring forth fruit in old age. I don't want to go down in a whimper. I'm still... Do for God. 783,137 words. And God uses this word only one time. Only one time out of almost 800,000 words. He only uses it one time. Uses it in conjunction with the name of David. And here's what David says. Howbeit the Lord, God of Israel, chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For thou hast chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me. He liked me. 783,137 words in the Bible, and the word liked, L-I-K-E-D, is only used one time, and God attached it to the name of David. You say, what does that have to do with anything? What do you want God to say about you? What bothers me is that it doesn't bother you to want to get close to the Lord. There's not a portion, and I'm not trying to be selfish, I'm not trying to be anything other than somebody stirring up, encouraging the house of God. Love. We do everything in the world except have a personal relationship with God. We go out of our way to satisfy our longings, but we forget about God who loves us. And David said, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul for thee. My soul thirsteth for God. When shall I go and appear before him? Isn't there anybody here tonight who wants to have God say something about them? Stand out in the crowd and make a difference for the cause of Christ. Almost 800,000 words. L-I-K-E-D. One more time, is only used once. And David saddled it right up with David. God saddled it right up with David. But he liked me. And the gist of my message is simple. I know he loves me. But does he like me? Does that not do anything for us tonight? Can I get a little personal? Almost 32 or 3 years ago, I hit something in my life. It messed me up emotionally, spiritually. It was a very dark place. During that time, I realized, sounds strange, because everybody in this room is going to think what I thought for 17 years up to that moment. Of course God loves me. For God so loved the world. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Of course he loves me. But you know, we think that he loves us as part of the collective. And we tell an old lost sinner man who doesn't know Jesus Christ as his Savior, you're going to miss eternity by 18 inches. You have a head knowledge of Christ, but you need a heart knowledge of Christ. And I've been saved since a little 8-year-old boy. This is 1989, preaching for 17 years, going through a valley that was as dark as anything that I'd ever been in up to that time, and about as dark as anything I'd ever gone through since then. But God did something for this old boy's soul. It seeped out of my head and down into my heart. He loves me. The greatest single life-changing bit of information I was ever given is when I stopped realizing he loves me, is because I'm part of the world, I'm part of the collective, and he loves me. He loves me. And ever since then, I've had a relationship with him. He's been my Savior since a child. He's been my Savior for 65 years. But it stopped just being my Savior. And he became my friend. He became my companion. And I'm just trying to encourage us. As the heart panteth, when I've come to that glorious realization, stop having an intellectual, biblical knowledge of the love of God, and I had an experiential, and it become a relationship with the Lord God of heaven who loves me. I'm not content to be anything other than someone. I know he loves me. But does he like me? He didn't say that about Peter, a man born in woman, none greater than John. He didn't say that, Blake, about anybody. He looked at John, those disciples, and said, man born a woman. And I know you think that sounds self-serving, but when you fall in love with somebody, is it such a bad thing that I want my wife to think that I'm the best thing since peanut butter? I know it sounds self-serving, but my responsibility is to love her. And her responsibility is to reverence me. Husbands, see to it that you love your own wives. Wives, reverence your own husbands. And I want to give her someone she can say, that's the best man I've ever known. That's the best man I've ever known. I don't want to just be married to her. I crave her admiration. Ladies, I won't knock it over, I promise. You want to ruin a man? Criticizing. You want to ruin a man? criticizing. Even God knew with his own son, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. And Christ said, not my will, but thy will be done. My Father is pleased with me. I'll give it all for him. And yet, he liked me. I can't think of a deeper relation. I can't think of a deeper thing a Christian can go into than a hunger and a longing for God. A desire that's like a thirsty deer in the wilderness. I've got to have Jesus. I've got to have the Lord. And may I say something to you? I got news for you. God likes that. I'm going to do my best to get to my 3 points. The certain man that had 2 sons. Look at me. He lost both of them. Did you know that? He didn't just lose the prodigal to the pig pen. He lost his elder son to self-righteousness. I love this. If that elder brother had really loved his father, he would have loved what his father loved. But when his younger brother comes home, he wants nothing to do with the celebration that is in the father's heart and berates the situation by simply saying, "With this thy son!" He didn't even bother to call him his brother. He said that when this thy son has come home, all you've done is heap praise upon him and celebration. And you know what? The father said, who is a type of God? Son, it was meet that we do this. It was the right thing to do. Can I say this and then get into my message? I don't want God just to like, I don't want God to just love me. Let's get back to that relationship with our wife. She better be your best friend. Because marriage would be a long and arduous task. If all you have is just together, make her laugh, want to be around her. Can I be a little flaky right now? I do that better than anybody in this room. She wanted to go get a pedicure. I'm going to tell it. Because frankly, I don't care. And I didn't want to wait in the car for her. So we went together. Let that little Filipino lady scrub around on my toes. Sitting there together. I wanted to be with her. I wasn't impressed. She cuts my toenails, isn't that cool? But I spent $30. She spent $30. I paid for it. And you know what I did during the process? I reached over and grabbed her hand. I wanted to be with her. And there was another fella who comes in with his wife, whose feet are uglier than mine. My wife took a picture of his feet. How does she do that? Why would she do that? Sends it to me. Said, I'm so thankful your feet don't look like this. I got up out of that chair. Looked over at him. And I said, it didn't affect me at all. I quite frankly didn't care what anybody said. They teased me. We're sitting there, little girl, Filipino or Mexican, whatever, I don't know. She looks up and says, what color? That's taking it a bit too far. I don't care if I have a pair of socks and a pair of shoes. They ain't putting color on my toes. Amen. It draws the line right there. I wanted to be with her. And it was a small price. Sit there with her. And be with not only somebody I love, but I kind of like her. I kind of think she's groovy. Can I say this to you? What's wrong with just wanting to be with the Lord? What's wrong with wanting more than just, he's my father, he's my friend? And David said, he liked me. And just this old boy got a little jealous when I learned that and found out about that. God liked David. And I thought to myself, brother, I want him to like me. So let's do a few things that David did. Let's do a few things that David did. Let's be a little bit like David was. So that when God, hey, have you ever read this passage of scripture in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith? May I point this out to you? It is not only the hall of faith, but it's the hall of shame. They're murderers. Rahab. But I love it. Abraham, the Bible says of Abraham, he conversed with his father, like with God, like as a man face to face with his friend. Wouldn't that be cool? But Abraham was afraid that he'd lose his life if they found out that his Sarah was his wife. So he said, sweetheart, save me alive and tell him you're my sister. Now, this is too cool. Right there in the midst of the hall of faith, as he went through the litany of things that he attributed to Abraham and Sarah, who looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And the Bible says right there in the middle of that wonderful chapter, the hall of faith, God, who's not ashamed to be called their God. I don't feel 73 right now. Right now, if I get down, I can't get up. Help me, sweetheart. Boy, that's down low. Sitting on his throne. I won't be long. Sitting on his throne. He said, I'm their God. I'm their God. And I'm not ashamed that everybody knows it. I'm their God. God, who's not ashamed to be called their God. What are you trying to say, Brother Griffiths? I know he loves us, but does he like us? What was it about David? He's in the twilight of his life. The Bible says David had to stand himself up. to say what he's about to say. But you know, this just occurred to me. He's old. He's decrepit. Can't kill the giants like he used to. But he stood himself up. And said, he liked me. That chokes me up. Leaning, wobbly, breaths away from eternity. And some of the last things David says of God, he liked me. And God said, you're right. I like him. I like him. Because he was an intense soldier. Did you get anything out of the messages this morning? Cowardice, complacency, criticism, all of it directed at a 16 or 17 year old boy who showed them all up. Showed them all up. Come from the backside of nowhere to deliver the goods to his brother and the captains of the host. And that little boy showed them all up. And God said, I like him. I like him. Shouting for the battle. I kind of like the history. We alluded to it in the messages this morning. David's out there in the wilderness with the most base job anybody could have. And Eliab went out of his way to point it out. To whom did you leave those few sheep? But I love this. Those few sheep meant his life. And he tells Saul, a bear and a lion. This is my twist on the story. This is not two separate incidences. This is one story. A lion and a bear both came out and took a lamb. A little sheep, not even a year old. And he said, I rose up and took it out of their mouths. Took it out of his mouth. Those two massive beasts were going to tear that little... Come here, son. He didn't do anything wrong. He was just looking at me like he kind of might like me. And the devil's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Ah, this is good. That old wicked bear of self. You want to know how God feels about child abuse? You really want to know what the Bible says about child abuse? Whosoever offendeth one of these little ones, it would be better for them to have a millstone hung about their necks and cast into the depths of the sea. And David sitting there with however many sheep, how many large, how many few, I don't know. Oh, it's impaled. Rescued it out of its mouth. It turned on me and I grabbed it and smote it. And turned on the bear and grabbed him by the beard, or grabbed the lion by the beard, and I smote him too. Can I say something to you? Stay right there, son. God's up in heaven saying, I like him. Watch this, boys. I like that 16, 17-year-old boy. I like him. Now he's on the battlefield, and there's a wicked, uncircumcised Philistine. Have a seat, son. Can't steal the show all day. 9'3" tall, blaspheming the armies of God. And David said, somebody, his block off. That's what he said in the New International Version. All stirred up inside. Intense in his soldiering. Goliath laughs at him. What am I, a dog, that you would send this scrawny little lad after me? And David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Shh! Seraphims! Shh! Watch this. Isn't that cool? I like him. Hey, Michael. I like him. Gabriel! I like him. Watch this. That little scrawny, ruddy-faced youth who had just been secretly anointed king by Samuel takes his shepherd sling. Grabs, you know the story. And look at me, it's not a children's bednight story. It is an actual story in the Word of God. And he put it there for a reason, to stir up my and your jealousy, to be liked like David does me. I hope this doesn't break. If it does, my wife will pay for it. She's got all kinds of money. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And he told all those cowards, the battle's the Lord. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause that stirs us and makes us rise up and say, I'll do what needs to be done. We're like the Sunday school lesson. We're complacent, cowardless. We now criticize those that try to rescue the little lambs, those few sheep. Those few sheep. I like saying this, God didn't put you in charge of them. God didn't raise up something that you had so that you can have these little sheep to the tune of almost 60,000 of them. And when I read that the word liked, L-I-K-E-D, is only mentioned one time and it's mentioned in conjunction with the life of David, I think to myself, I want him to like me. I want him to like me. Then let's be a warrior. Let's be a warrior. An intense soldier. Second of all, why did God like him? He inspired the servants. He was only a shepherd boy. And they were writing songs about him. I'm having fun. And Saul, sitting on his horse or riding in his chariot, comes riding into town. David's behind him. And the girl starts singing. Saul has slain his 1,000, but David has slain his 10,000. And Saul got jealous. Saul got mad. And David had died. Because his life, Saul's life, did not inspire like David's life did. Can I bring this to 2024? Be honest. Do you like the Psalms? Is it not easily one of your favorite books in the Bible? And I'm trying to be brief. I have what I call Genesis to Revelation reading. 3 chapters a day, cuts me through the whole Bible in a year's time. I've been doing something different for the last 2-3 years. 2 chapters in the old and 1 in the new. And they usually end up about, by the time I get to Malachi, I'm in the book of Revelation. In my Genesis to Revelation, I read through the Psalms. I have read through the Psalms probably 100 times. I've read through the rest of the whole Bible probably a little over 50 times. But I've read through the Psalms probably 100 times. I finished reading Psalm 150. My whole heart was stirred and inspired. And you know what I decided to do? I started all over with the book of Psalms again and read it through a second time before I went into the next book of the Bible. When I got through reading it the second time, I thought, well, I need to finish up reading the rest of the Old Testament and get back into the New Testament. So I read a couple of chapters of the next book, went over and read a chapter, and you know what I decided to do? Go back into the Psalms. And I'm up to Psalms 40, the third time this year. Because that insignificant little shepherd boy inspires me. Inspires me. So much so that during one period of my life, I decided to read out loud the Psalms once a month, and I did it for 2 years, on my knees, out loud. That's nothing. But it all has to do with the fact, I know He loves me, but I'd like for Him to like me, like God liked David. Because that man's life inspires me. And as I told you this morning, the first time I ever wept over a portion of the scriptures, 22 years old, I knew the story, but I had never read it before, where David falls with Bathsheba. And I sit there and cried. There was a time when the kings went forth to battle, but David tarried at home. In the next chapter, we find him with Bathsheba. Yet God liked him. He suffered the consequences of it fourfold. Yet God liked him. I want him to like me. He was an intense soldier, an inspiring servant. And last of all, why did God like him? He idolized the shepherd. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. One place he said, oh, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord and behold the beauty of the Lord all the days of my life. He loved him. I'm not being hateful. I promise you I'm not. I promise you this is not a slap on the wrist, but it's a pat on the back. God gave us David to warn us, but also to inspire us. True story. Honestly, it's true. Google it. Richard Burton. He had an English voice. You know who I'm talking about. About as vile as they come, but he was, boy, he had a Shakespearean voice. He wasn't born in England, he was born in Wales. He was Welsh. grew up in a mining town. They decided to invite their favorite son to have a one-man performance at the theater in the town where Richard Burton was raised. And he gives a one-man performance. That voice, unfortunately, that he used for the devil, stirred those people, and they stood and gave him a standing ovation. He walked off the stage, but they encored him back. He quieted the crowd down, and he gave him his rendition of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And they stood and cheered him. Bravo, bravo. And while they cheered him, there sat an old gray-haired man in a wheelchair that he recognized from childhood, much younger then, but now he's old and gray-headed. He quieted the crowd down. He said, I want to honor my pastor. Call him his vicar. The church here, listening to this man preach. You listen to me recite the 23rd Psalm. I want you to hear him recite the 23rd Psalm. Like David of old, he rose up with his feeble body, his weakened legs, and proceeded, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou hast prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And with that, he sat back down in his wheelchair. There was no applause, just sobbing. Women weeping and men crying. Some fell on their knees. There stood Richard Burton with the owner of the theater. He looked at Richard Burton. He said, what's the difference? What's the difference? Richard Burton says, I knew the psalm, but he knew the shepherd. You can quote it, but can we say, the Lord is my shepherd? Every head bowed, every eye closed.